Hi, I'm Ed Slott.
And I'm Jeff Levine.
And we're two guys who just love to talk about retirement and taxes.
Look, our mission is simple, to educate you, the saver, so that you can make better decisions, because better decisions, on the whole, lead to better outcomes.
And here's how we're going to do that. Each week, Jeff and I will debate the pros and the cons of a particular retirement strategy or topic, with the goal of helping you keep more of your hard-earned money.
At the end of each debate, there's going to be one clear winner. You, a more informed saver who can hopefully apply the merits of each side of the debate to your own personal situation to decide what's best for you and your family.
So here we go. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Great Retirement Debate. Ed, good to be back with you once again.
Something that's come up recently, and actually over the years, a lot of money building up in IRAs. For most people, it's their largest bucket of savings. And some people want to start a business, but it's the only pot of money they have to finance their new business. Should they use their IRA to fund their new business?
Okay, so should I use my IRA to fund my business?
All right. No.
All right. Well, tell us how you feel, Ed. That's interesting. So obviously, you feel pretty strongly about this on that side. Why?
Why? Because it's dangerous. There are rules called prohibited transactions, possibly the worst penalty that can fall on your retirement savings. A prohibited transaction is, as it says, the tax law disallows certain transactions. And not only do they disallow it, but it's so bad if it's done in an IRA. When I said you lose your IRA, it's disqualified. The IRA is treated as if everything came out of that IRA as of the first day of the year of the prohibited transaction. So let's say you have $1 million in your IRA and you commit a prohibited transaction. And sometimes investing in a business, and one of the key prohibited transactions involves self-dealing, could trigger a prohibited transaction. So you have $1 million in your IRA, and you take 10,000 of it to fund your business, but you're in control of it, you're self-dealing. The whole million is taxable. And if you're under 59—
So not just the 10,000 you use,
right,
but the whole account.
Right, that's the point. Matter of fact, that was made certain, that was confirmed in the Secure Act. I was actually surprised that was in the original Secure Act. Mm-hmm. It just confirmed what we always thought, if you remember that.
Yep.
So the whole million is taxable. And if you're under 59 and a half when you do it, a 10% penalty on that million.
All right, so you talked about prohibited transactions. What prohibited transactions might I run across if I'm looking to fund my own business? What are some of the things I can't do?
Self-dealing. That's basically the easiest term to understand. Borrowing money from your IRA, lending money to your IRA, using IRA money for personal transactions, like investing in your own business that you can control. Now, whenever I say this to somebody, because people, you must get those questions also, I want to invest in my own business.
Sure.
I have an IRA. I'm allowed to invest in IBM stock. Why can't I invest in my company stock?
Congress said so.
Well, because you're generally, people that are building or creating their own business are kind of hands-on people.
Sure.
And the only way this really works, if you're a hands-off kind of person, that you're investing in a business that you're not going to work at, but you're investing, is a big difference.
Yes. Yeah. They're very, very tough and draconian rules if you end up committing one of these prohibited transactions. And it's kind of like threading a needle to use those dollars to fund your own business without committing a prohibited transaction. But, you know, you talked about, you said, you know, it's dangerous. I said, why not? You said it's dangerous. Well, Ed, danger is my middle name. So you know, I'll take maybe, I don't want to say I definitively take the other side on this one, but I think that if there are situations where you believe passionately that you have an idea and that this idea is going to allow you to create a lifestyle for yourself that you want, whether it's the income you want or whether it's just the work-life balance, working for yourself versus working for someone else, and the only asset you have is your retirement account, then you know, I don't know if I'd say using your IRA as an IRA, but maybe just taking a distribution.
I was going to say, yeah, that would be the way to go. To have access to the money, pay the tax, maybe even the penalty, as you said, if you really believe in it. Now, the problem is, let me give you an example. Let's say you are a contractor. This is a typical example. They have money in their IRA, and they buy some dilapidated house, and they want to improve.
I'm going to fix it up because I'm a contractor.
Yeah. Right, right. But that's self-dealing because you're working. If you could... These are hands-on people. That's their nature. But could you imagine somebody calling his direct competitor? Well, I can't do it.
Right.
But can you can I hire?
I'd like to hire you to rebuild my house
and manage it for rentals or something. If it was hands-off, that could work. But it generally doesn't happen that way. We saw a case years ago where, and you wonder how does IRS even find this? It came out of an audit. A guy had some. Land he owned in his IRA, which was fine, but he also had a contracting business, and he parked one of his contracting vehicles on this land. And during the audit, when they were claiming depreciation, and it turned out it was owned by the IRA, well, that's self-dealing. That's a prohibited transaction, and the entire IRA was taxed.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think we agree on that. Now, the problem, of course, is that even in those situations, you know, I kind of advocated for, hey, if you have this business idea.
Right.
But the other challenge to that is, you know, anyone who does this thinks that their business is going to work out. Right, you don't do this going in saying, "Boy, this is not going to work." But the reality is, most small businesses fail within the first few years.
Right,
and to your point, if you're saying the IRA is your only asset, because if you have other money, that would be the money to use. But if your IRA is your only money, and you're using it to fund your business, and your business is like most small businesses, and it fails within a few years, now you end up with no job and no IRA, and you're even in worse situation than you were before. So, I mean, even though I've sort of made the case for, okay, if you've got an idea, then, you know, you got to take a chance sometimes in life. Well, there's the other side to that coin where you've got to think about, well, what if I'm like most people, unfortunately, and this doesn't work out?
Right, right. And again, with the IRA, it's a problem. The problem is the people who do this, first of all, you can't go to a bank or a broker or a mutual fund company, not a traditional type asset like stocks, bonds, and funds. So you have to go to a self-directed IRA custodian, and they'll help you. They'll lay out the rules saying what you can do and what you can't, but they're not the police. If you misuse it, you could inadvertently, because you didn't know the rules, you thought you could just fix something up or you run your business through your IRA, and you missed one of these technical rules. Everything Jeff said could happen because you've committed a prohibited transaction.
All right, so there's also another way out there that gets promoted a lot and by those who stand to benefit from the use of it. And it's a way to, at least as some would say, to use your IRA to start a business by not keeping it in the IRA, but by creating a business first and then taking your IRA and rolling it into a plan of your new business, which is certainly allowed. You can create a business, you can start a plan in your business, and you can roll outside money into your new plan. But then what they do is they use that money inside the plan to fund the business. And
or pay themselves.
Or pay themselves, right?
Right. Again, you're in problem. And this is so bad. I mean, it could work if you follow all the rules. But this is so bad that IRS has named this strategy a ROBS transaction, R-O-B-S. It actually stands for rollovers as business startups. Mm-hmm. But if IRS is calling it a ROBS transaction,
probably not a good indication. I remember years ago, they were talking about this on a call. And the person from the IRS, their response, you know, somebody said, well, can you actually do these things? And the person on the call said, theoretically.
Right, I remember that.
Theoretically, that these things, but in practice, we don't. Like,
it was one of those things. I think they said we've never even seen one that worked or something like that.
Yeah, it was one of those things, like, if you did everything right. Well, the problem is when you actually go through and you do one of these ROBS transactions, there's several problems. One of them is you might commit a prohibited transaction, similar to the way we talked about with an IRA. But the other issue is the way you fund your business with this is you have to buy shares of the business inside, or buy units of the business inside your 401k with that 401k money. But when you do that, You have to value your business.
Right.
And what is a new business worth?
Right.
For most new businesses, the answer is absolutely nothing. It
right.
has no value. So you can't be buying shares at fair value and say, oh, the business just happens to be worth $1 million. Why? Oh, because that's the amount I had in my IRA at the time I rolled it in. No, that doesn't work like that. So
right, that's not the value of the business, right. whatever I had in my IRA.
Yeah, that doesn't work like that. Now, where I see this sometimes working is if you can use that to maybe like on a where you franchise something and have a franchise
oh,
fee
yeah,
up front. There can be a legitimate cost, and once you've paid that cost, there's some value there. And so you can actually, but, you know, if you're just starting, you know, Ed's, you know, pizza shop, well, Ed's pizza shop on day one is not worth anything.
Right.
And so there's some
well,
real
you don't know,
valuation.
You haven't tasted the pizza, so.
Well,
I'm from New York, remember.
That's true. What toppings are on Ed's pizza, by the way?
All of them.
All of them. All right. Well,
pepperoni sausage, extra garlic.
Extra garlic. All right, yeah. I'm glad we're separated.
That alone
by
is
two
a prohibited
feet.
Transaction.
That is a prohibited transaction.
If you're around anybody.
All right, so ultimately, we've got the situation where someone who wants to invest in their business, has this idea, but only has the retirement account, is stuck in a situation where they either use it or maybe take it out, or they don't get to move forward with this idea. So, you know, with a final thought, Ed, like, what say you? If you were advising this individual, what do you tell them?
I would almost always say don't do it because I'm afraid you may break the rules. You may not be careful enough. A simple thing, like, let's say you invest in a house, like I said before, it's an easy example, but then you let your sister live there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prohibited transaction because it's self-dealing. What if I left my sister? Here's another question. What if I let my sister to live there, but she pays market rent. Still no good.
No, never good to have your sister living in your house. No, that's it. Kick her out, Ed. You
so
don't
there's just
keep
too
those family
many rules,
members away.
But I might go to what you said before. If you really have a great idea, then take the money out of the IRA. The only money you're putting at risk is the tax money at that point.
Yep, and just be aware, again, like most people, you know, everyone thinks their idea is the one. Otherwise, they don't do this. But the reality and the statistics of the situation show that most of those people who believe fervently that they're right,
is there any
wrong.
Way to end this without the Debbie Downer tone we have here?
Well, I guess we could say this. If you're fortunate enough to have built up enough money to invest in your business at some point, maybe you'll be able to be fortunate enough to go back and build it. I don't know. There's no way, Ed. Nope. This is just one of those things where it is very difficult. And if you're thinking about doing this, you know, maybe the upside here is that you need to think ahead and figure out where you're going to place your dollars. Maybe for some people, the IRA isn't the best place.
And here's another thing. I just thought about it because people, their wheels might be turning. They say, wait a minute. All right, so I won't use my IRA money, but I could borrow it. I could use it as collateral for a loan.
Good luck with that.
That's a prohibited transaction, too.
Pretty much whatever you think about with your IRA, unless you're just going through the normal motions, there's a good chance it's a prohibited transaction. As you said, Ed, one of the more punitive penalties in the tax code, the immediate taxation of the entire account. And for a lot of people, if they're thinking about this, they probably are under the age of 59 and a half. Otherwise, you know, they're probably the ones who are more likely to be starting a business at that point, which means a 10% penalty on top of everything else. Not so great.
And by the way, on that loan example, just to clarify, with a personal guarantee.
That's right. Yep. All right. Well, Ed, we had a good discussion today about an important topic, as always. I appreciate it. And let us know what you think. If you were in a position where you wanted to start your own business and the only money you had was in an IRA, would you use it? Let us know. You can reach out to Ed on Twitter at The Slot Report or myself at CPA Planner. Ed, good discussion as always.
Yep.
And we look forward to seeing you all on the next Great Retirement Debate.
Jeffrey Levine is Chief Planning Officer for Buckingham Wealth Partners. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as specific investment, accounting, legal, or tax advice. Certain information mentioned may be based on third-party information which may become outdated or otherwise superseded without notice. Third-party information is deemed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The topic discussed in corresponding arguments are those of the speakers and may not accurately reflect those of Buckingham Wealth Partners.